Our scripture reading today is from 1 John 1 verses 1 to 4, and I invite you to read that again with me as it comes up on your screen. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write these things to make our joy complete. What do you do when good things happen to you? When you get that breakthrough, or you receive good news, get an opportunity, or that thing that you've really been waiting and hoping for so long happens. I don't know about you, but I immediately pick up the phone and I cannot wait to tell someone, because good news requires to be shared. And if we read today's scripture, we see someone who cannot wait to share the good news. John is bursting at the seams about his encounter with Jesus. You get a sense that this is the best thing that's ever happened to him, and he needs to share it. He's so filled with joy with what he has experienced and received, he can't remain silent. It's like he's telling us, I must tell you, you don't understand. I saw, I heard, I touched him, I lived with him, and he's the word. He is life. And life with him is amazing. It's like nothing you've ever experienced. It's eternal. There's nothing like him. And I don't want to just tell you about this. I'm inviting you to share in it. This is for anyone and everyone, and you can share in this community, in this fellowship with him and with others. This is the good news that John shares. It is the coming of the kingdom. It is eternal life. And what does that mean? It means that I can know him. I can know God. You can live with him. You can share and have relationship with him right now. And that relationship transforms you. Now, John surely understood how powerful this gospel is. But sometimes I wonder, in that moment, did he really realize? Because this gospel is a gospel that 2,000 years later is still known as good news. It is the gospel that still daily transforms and saves people all over the world. It is the gospel that overcomes so much. It's this gospel that overcame the Roman rule and the many persecutions that the Christian church had to go through, and it still stands. You see, John was writing this letter at a very uncertain time. Jerusalem was destroyed about 20 years earlier, and the Christians were scattered throughout the Roman Empire. They are ruling, and a lot of the writings of that time gives us a very grim reality of what it was like to live under the Roman rule. Power and violence, fear was their way. Now, except for this uncertainty, there was also an uncertainty within the church. At this time, false teachers had entered the church, and there were two groups of heresy. On the one hand, you had a group that said that the experience of your relationship with God is only spiritual, and only the spiritual is real, and the physical is all an illusion, because the physical will pass, and all that is lasting is the spiritual life and spiritual experiences. But then you had the group that said that the opposite, that the spiritual is an illusion. All that's real is the physical, what you can touch. So one group didn't believe that God could become flesh. And the other said that Jesus was human, but he was never raised from the dead, because they didn't believe in the supernatural, the power. So consequently, John now comes and he proclaims the good news. And he says to those who don't believe in the spiritual, listen, the word always existed. It's eternal. It's very spiritual. He was with the Father and he became man. He came and he was revealed to us. He came and brought eternal life to us. And to the others, he's saying, listen, it's all physical. We saw it. Miracles happened. There were about 500 people that saw this, eyewitnesses. Some of them are still around. Go talk to them. And here we see John inviting us to notice that our relationship with God is neither one nor the other. Christianity is not only spiritual or physical. It's not just head or experience. It's not just left brain. It's not just right brain. It's both. Jesus is not just a person, but Jesus is not only God. He's both. And this relationship that we can have with him is so comprehensive. It encompasses all realities and dimensions of being. And we can share in that. And you can only be filled with joy when you grasp something of this and understand and experience something of this. And your joy will grow as you grow in this relationship, as you grow in the gospel, as you grow in the good news and you share it. This is what John testifies about and proclaims. Now, as I was sitting with this text, I was wondering today, what does it mean to proclaim the gospel? What does it mean to testify about the relationship you have with him, with others? To be a witness in this world? Perhaps today, only two practical ways to which we are invited in scripture, where we proclaim and testify, we are witnesses through word and through deed. I remember years ago, I was listening to a sermon and the minister told the story of a congregation member who came to see him and told him about this experience that he had. The congregation member has a colleague whom he drives to work with on every Monday. And every Monday in the car, on the drive, they would share with each other how their weekend was. And they quickly realized that both of them had a very specific rhythm for a Sunday. One of them went to play golf every week, and the other one went to church every week. And so one Monday, as they were driving to work, the guy who played golf said to the guy who went to church, listen, when are you going to give up all this hypocrisy about going to church, this facade that you have on, that you are living with? And the guy was surprised and he said, what do you mean? What do you mean by hypocrisy or a facade? Church is important to me. And the golfer says to him, you know what? We've been driving together for just over 5 years. And yet you haven't shared the meaning of your faith with me once in over 5 years. Not once. And I don't know why that story deeply challenged me and just stayed with me as I heard it. And maybe it's because it made me think about my own life and what will people in my circles of friendship and relationship and influence say about how I talked about my faith, my relationship with God? How did I proclaim the gospel away from the pulpit? And I realized that there are hindrances that keep us from sharing the gospel. I think one of the reasons we don't tell or why we don't share is that a lot of us feel, listen, I don't want to be intrusive. I don't want to cause discomfort. I don't want to sound weird or absurd. I mean, the gospel can sound very absurd in some contexts. But when I look at Jesus and the way that he proclaimed, how he testified, how he was a witness about this kingdom of God, and I'm not talking about the times where he was preaching this, where he was living it. Then I see how he meets a person where they are. I'm invited to find an appropriate time and place. I'm invited to not try and convince people or manipulate people or sell the gospel to someone, because God is the one who convinces. He does that part of the work. And when he does that, that's where you become surprised at what happens. He's the one who makes the gospel true and makes people believe. I mean, we've all experienced it. You hear about that one person that came to the Lord and you're like, what, that guy? Never. But it happens. That is the power of the gospel. You see, it's such a gift. And the reality is, it is impossible to hear the gospel without it being shared. Romans 10:14 says, how can you believe in him if you've not heard of him? You only hear with words. You hear words. You are here today because someone told you about God and the good news. Someone testified. Someone was a witness to you and shared this with you. And yes, there are some of us with the gift more than others, such as evangelists or preachers. But Jesus gives each and every one of us this invitation to be his witness. And when we start finding words for this relationship, for this good news, for this experience, then we realize, listen, one of us, when we share, is sowing the seed. One of us is actually plowing. One of us is harvesting. But when we stay faithful by just doing it, reading that moment when it comes, having the courage to share when the opportunity shows itself. It's such a big invitation to us today because we live in a context. We live in a country and a society that is desperately in need of hearing the transforming message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where are you invited to use words, to find language, to take the opportunities within those relationships that you already have to speak about the good news that you've received? But your proclamation testimony is not only with words, it's also in deeds and actions. There are some words that some people ascribe to Francis of Assisi. It says, always preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. I don't know if you can remember, Jesus comes at the end of his life. And one of the last words that he says to his followers is, when you receive my spirit, when my spirit comes over you, you will be my witnesses. You'll be my witnesses. And when we read that, there's a general calling for all of us, all followers, to be witnesses of the kingdom. But then there's a calling of something specific that you can do with your life as a witness. Only you can do. Paul speaks about this in Galatians 6, and he says in the Message paraphrase, make a careful exploration of who you are, the work you've been given, and sink yourself into that. Now, let's just pause for a moment at this verse. What is Paul trying to say to us? He's trying to tell us, you know what? God is at work in your life. And if you know who you are, then you will know what the work is that he's given you to do. Paul's saying, take responsibility for your life so that you can do the creative best with what you have and where you are. And I've got good news for you. You were not left out. Don't compare yourself to others because God has given you very specific gifts. And what he's given you is different to what he's given me. What he gave you is different from what he gave to the person next to you, in front of you, behind you. But discover what that is that he has placed in you. Come on this journey. Come and discover start where you are. Start to serve somewhere because we learn as we do. Have you thought about the impact it would have if we would all say yes to a journey like this? An adventure, a discovery journey. We'll be able to achieve so much more. The Bible's mathematics is not our maths. 1 + 1 isn't 2. It's somewhat 11. Because when we stand together, what we can manage, what we can do is so much more than on our own. There are so many ministries. I think about some ministries that we undertake as a congregation, Mosaic. It can't be done by an individual. I think of our baby house. It not only costs a lot of money, but it's complicated. It requires speciality inputs. It's hard work. It's a 24-hour responsibility that people need to be there. It requires a body, a community of witnesses. So here's the invitation. Where has God placed you? Where can you form part of a community to go on this journey? There's so much need, so much places where you can start. A school, a church, an old age home in your area. There's so much happening and so many opportunities for you and I to be a witness, to find out what it is that God has locked up inside of you, what the potential could be and the power within us. I can't help think of Paul's words in Romans. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And if we start sharing what we believe in words and in deeds, we can accomplish so much alongside him. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for the gift of your life, the gift of the gospel, the good news of salvation. We ask that you will help us to have courage and the boldness to share, proclaim, testify, be a witness of this gospel and good news. Show us where we can use our words, our stories, our experiences to share that with others. But help us also to discover what it is that you've placed in each one of us that needs to be shared. How we can take hands with each other, but also with you, so that your kingdom might come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us again today. If you would like to pray with someone, please send us an email and one of our staff members will be in contact with you to pray with you. The love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us all. Amen.